Dear radio friends, if you have your Bibles, I ask you to open them to Psalm 73. We're going to look today at verses 23 through 26, where the psalmist says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Very often the promises of God's word are all that the believer has. In difficult times we turn in faith to the promises of God's word, and they give us strength to persevere. That's because the promises of God's word are guarantees from the unchanging, sovereign, covenant God to His people. God's promises are not maybes. They're not simply possibilities. No, when God makes a promise, He follows through. He fulfills His word. And that's because He's a God who cannot lie and who never changes. These promises are sure because in Christ, all God's promises are yes and amen. They are sure because Christ by the cross has secured their fulfillment for us. And the promises of God, which we cling to, lead us to confession. They lead us to faith and confession. When God promises, as He does in Hebrews 13, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," then the believer responds with the confession, "God is always with me." The verses that we look at here in Psalm 73 are both promises from God and personal confessions of the child of God. They are promises that produce confession. God promises to hold us and to guide us, and that produces the psalmist's confession, "I am continually with thee. Whom have I but thee? God is my portion forever." The psalmist has been through some very tough times which have shaken his faith. In the earlier parts of the psalm, he tells us of a time when he questioned the ways of God, a time that was very dark, and there were no answers, it seemed, for him, and he looked around at others, especially at the ungodly, who didn't acknowledge God. Well, he did, and it all seemed so unfair. If God loved him, why was his life so difficult? Why was he, the one who trusted God and obeyed him, afflicted so sorely by God, while the wicked and the unbelieving and the proud seemed to get off so easy? And he couldn't find an answer, he tells us, till he went to the house of God and understood the end of man. He saw that there were two possible ends, eternal life in heaven and eternal destruction in hell. These two destinies of man explained to him what he saw going on in life. He saw that all the prosperity and ease of ungodly men were not signs of God's favor to them, but in fact these were things that were dragging them down into judgment and leading them to destruction. And then he understood also that the troubles of his life came from God to him out of love to prepare him and lead him to glory. "I went to God's temple, my doubts were dispelled, the end of life's journey I clearly beheld." It's these lessons that are in the verses before us. There are three lessons that he learned, and they are lessons for us today. The first lesson the psalmist learned was this, that God was always with him. He learned of the amazing staying power of the grace of God. God never goes away. He never deserts his people. His grace is always there and always sufficient. In verse 23, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand." What is he saying? This, that though he went through difficult times, though he complained and grumbled and had no answers, God was always there. God never left him. He means to say that God's grace is a greater power than anything else in the world, that God's grace can never be resisted or overcome. He's saying to us, I understand now the amazing and unbelievable truth that God never forsakes his own, even when they are least deserving of it. He's constantly and continually with me. When I thought God was far off, when I went far from him in distrust and murmuring, there he was right next to me, holding my hand. The picture is of a little child and the father holding its hand. When the little child is stubborn and intent on his own way, the father patiently holds on to the child's hand. Or if the little child is so sick that in bed he doesn't know anything that's going on around him, and he's crying out for his father or mother, there, right at his bedside, are the father and mother holding his hand and tending to him, even though he doesn't know it. Let's learn that lesson. God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you are a child of God who goes through dark times, through trials of sickness, trials of poverty, trials of death and grief, trials of loneliness, remember this, God is with you. When you have doubts and questions, God in his grace will never desert you. There's never a moment that he refuses to own you as his children. He's not ashamed to be called your God. God is our refuge and our strength, a helper ever near us. We will not fear, though earth be moved, for God is nigh to cheer us. That's the first lesson. And we should let it flood over our souls. God is with us. He holds us. He sustains us. In every dark moment, God is with his people. His grace is sufficient for every hour. And then you come to the second lesson in verse 24. Now the psalmist confesses that not only is God with him, but God is his guide, a sovereign and purposeful guide. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. The psalmist speaks of God as a guide. When do you need a guide? And what makes for a good guide? You need a guide when the road is rough and unknown, and the best guide is the one who knows the road, who knows the way. And God knew the way all along, the way of our lives. He planned it. And that's the way to view our lives. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. In his eternal counsel or plan, God has predetermined our lives. He has designed and mapped out every step and every detail of our earthly life. Nothing in our lives is by chance. Nothing is a mistake. God is never surprised or caught off guard. Everything comes out of God's good, loving purpose for us. He knows your way of sorrow and suffering. He didn't only plan it, but he experienced it when he came in the flesh as our Savior. Job says, he knoweth the way I take. He knows it because he eternally decreed it, but also because he traveled it himself. When Jesus came to earth, he bore every grief. He carried every sorrow, he faced every temptation, he knew every disappointment that you or I might experience. We have a Savior who was tempted and tried in every point, just as we are, one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He really knows, he really sympathizes with his people in whatever they're suffering. And if you consider what your life is, that's so important. God has laid out, he has planned, he has prepared every aspect and moment of your life. Because he's familiar with it, he's the perfect guide. In that counsel or plan for the lives of his people, God has a purpose. The psalm says, "Thou shalt guide me and afterward receive me to glory." Here he speaks of his eternal destiny. God has predestined him to glory. And he means not only that glory is the next thing to come after this life, but that it's the purpose of all that happens to him in his life. Paul says that our light afflictions, which last but for a moment, work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The great guide, God, is orchestrating all the details of your life today to bring you to glory. What is glory? Glory is the place where all of God's love and mercy and grace and holiness will fill us, and we will become mirrors to perfectly reflect that love and glory back to God. In glory, all sin and sighing and sorrow and pain are forever gone. In glory, we will see Christ as He is, face to face. And that's God's goal for each of His children. Sometimes in death, we are shocked. God suddenly takes a believing husband or a covenant child or a Christian mother away by death. We are surprised and we are hurt. This pain, this separation in death. But God is bringing to glory. When God takes a loved one away like that, then we can be sure that everything God has decreed for their life has come. Every step of their life on earth is complete. There are no stepping stones left untrodden. God, the guide, has led them by His counsel along the path that leads to glory. The death of one of God's children is not a mistake. It's not an accident. No, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. God, the guide, is always perfect in His timing. Now notice that this verse, verse 24, is a personal confession. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Can you say that? Do you say that when you look at your life? This is not just a general confession about God's people so that we say, when a believer dies, God planned it and he went to glory. No, it's about you and your life today. Whatever the struggles or the dark and difficult circumstances that you experience today, can you say, God, my guide, is guiding me. He has planned these things for me. These things are necessary to bring me to glory. For God is our own God, forever will abide, until life's journey, close in death, will be our faithful guide. So there you have the second lesson. God is with us. And God is our guide. There's one more thing that the psalmist learned, the third lesson. He learns to see that God is and must be his all. In verse 25, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever." As the psalmist looks at everything, everything in heaven, everything on earth, as he considers all that this world has to offer, he sees that it all is nothing and vanity. There's nothing that he desires but God. As his flesh and heart fail, as he grows old and weak, as his body fails him, he sees that God only can give strength to his heart, that God only can give him a portion, something that will last forever. And so as he contemplates the end of man, the reality of death and eternity in either heaven or hell, he says, "For me, there's nothing else that matters but God. He's all I need today. He's all I need tomorrow. He's all I need all the days of my life. He's all my desire. Having Him, all my wants cease. The psalmist finds that God is all-sufficient and completely satisfying. God is the passion and the purpose of his life. When he thinks, God is in his thoughts. When he desires, God is in his desires. When he speaks, God is in his words. Everything he needs is in and comes from God. Now, is that true for you today? Can you say that? Perhaps listening today, there is a younger person who pays little regard to God and who loves to live the wild life and to party. Or maybe listening today, there is someone who is an unbeliever who doesn't know the gospel and doesn't love the God of the scripture, whose life is all about this world and there's no thought of eternity. Is that you? If it is, you should understand that every person's earthly life comes to an end. And after death, it's either heaven or hell. You see, that's what the writer of this psalm learned. There's an eternity. And if you disregard God in this life, you can expect that he will pay no attention to you in the next. That's why in verse 27 we read, "They that are far from thee shall perish," and that God destroys all those whose lives are far from him. The way to life eternal is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And the way to come to Christ is through confession of sin, through repentance over sin, a changed, a new life that loves and serves the Lord. If I am going to spend eternity with God in heaven, that can only happen if I live here on this earth loving God, seeking God, and serving God. I am not here in this world for me. God made me to serve Him. And what a fullness and satisfaction there is in God as we say these words with the psalmist, "The Lord is my portion forever. The Lord is my inheritance. The Lord alone remains the fullness of my cup of bliss. The Lord my lot maintains." These are the lessons that the psalmist learned. God was with him. God was his guide. God was his all. These are life lessons that we learn, sometimes through trials, and as we consider the end of man. Lessons not for our head, but lessons for our lives. And so here are God's promises to his people. "I am with you. I hold you through whatever your trials. I have planned all that comes to you in your life. My purpose is to bring you to glory. I will supply your every need. Fear not." And the believer responds by confessing, "I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. All my life is in thy hand to lead me to glory. Lord, you are my all in all. There's nothing in this life, nothing in heaven, that I want more than thee." Isn't that a beautiful confession? Let's pray. Lord, help us to know, regardless of what we must face in this life, that all things are in thy hand, and that thou art always present with us. And then help us to confess it, to say it, to believe it, and so to have contentment in life because we know it. Thou art ever with us. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen.